الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن ربي رحيم ودود. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: وهو الغفور الودود. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One very special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud means the most loving one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most loving towards His servants, towards the believers. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the most forgiving and He is the most loving. And He, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's maghfirah has no end, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love also has no end. And elsewhere Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Rabbi Rahimun Wadud, that indeed my Rabb, my Lord, is extremely merciful and most loving. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah has no end, in the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love also has no end. If you look at the different kinds of loves that we have in this world, every other love there is a motive behind it. The relationship of parents with their children, that's the strongest. But there also there is a motive. Parents, they wish that there is someone who becomes their heirs, someone who takes care of us in old age. And on the other hand, children, they're also in need of their parents. So there is some motive behind that love. The relationship of husband-wife is very strong. But the husband needs the wife, and the wife also, she needs her husband. She has needs. So there is also a motive behind this relationship. The relationship of a teacher and student also has some motive behind. Students, they want to get knowledge from their teachers. They travel all the way, bear difficulties, spend money. And teachers have to make sure that whatever they're teaching, they have a return. Maybe they want a return from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there's some motive behind their intention. So here also this love has a motive from both sides. The relationship between a patient and a doctor. The doctor, no matter how much he says that he is doing this for the service for humanity, but inside he's getting paid for that. And the patient's need is also a doctor. So there is a motive between a relationship between a friend and a friend. Here also there is some motive. They study in the same class, study with each other, live in the same area. Shit happens, sadness. You'll see a need, a purpose behind everything. All the worldly loves and relationships, they're for the sake of something. Some benefit, some intention, some motive. And there is only one relationship, in fact two, but our topic today is one. A relationship, a love that is selfless. A relationship with a love where there's no motive. It's not selfish. And that is the relationship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his servants. In one hadith Qudsi, it comes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every person loves you for himself. O Abdi, O my servant, every person loves you for himself. And my servant, we love you for yourself. Subhanallah. If you reflect on this hadith, the first part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, O insan, every person loves you for their own sake. But I love you for your sake. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O insan, this is mentioned in one of the Peygam, one of the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Bani Israel. So in the Torah, it's mentioned that one of the messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent was this, that inni wa haqqi laka muhibbun, that I give you the qasam that I love you. I invoke my love for you, that I love you. And فَبِحَقِّ عَلَيْكَ كُنِّي مُحِبَّ. And now because I love you, for this fact I ask you that you love me. And if you reflect, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking a qasam that, O my servant, I love you. And I'm your Rabb. And then I ask you that because I love you, you love me back. This is very ajeeb. Because we understand from this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us that we should love him. Allah ta'ala wants that the people should love him back. And that is why whoever steps on this path of acquiring Allah's muhabbah earns the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first thing that we have here is, there are three things which are interesting here. First is that, O my servant, I love you. And because of the fact that I love you, I ask that you love me back. Then we listen to the second thing, which is also very ajeeb. That أَدْعُوكَ لِلْوَصْلِ فَتَابَ أَبْعَثْ رُسْلِي فِي الطَّلَبِ. That, O my servant, I called you towards meeting me. I called you so that you will come and we can meet each other. But you refused to meet me. So then I sent my messengers to you so that they can prepare you for your meeting with me. When you have a connection or a taluq relationship with someone and that person does not want to meet you, you love him, but they don't want to love you back. They're not willing to meet you. This happens in worldly loves. So what happens is that they send some representative. Then go speak to him on my behalf, try to mentally condition him, prepare him, and then ask him to come and meet me. Exact kafiyat, that's the exact state here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, O my servant, I called you for mulaqat, for meeting me. Allah ta'ala called us in Jannah. Why? For mulaqat, for meeting. They will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the invitation. And then fataba But the person, he refused. He started engaging in sin, committing sin. And Allah is saying, I sent you the message of meeting me, but you ignored my message. So what was the result? Allah says, Aba'as urusuli fit talabi. I then send my messengers that they will come to you and they will prepare you and give you hope that you should come and meet me. Subhanallah, Allah loves His servant so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending the messengers, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Rasulullah alayhi salam, that you should go and you should counsel my servants that they should come back and meet me. They should return back to me. Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam. That Allah is inviting them towards Jannah. Dawah, Allah is inviting them towards this place of this abode of peace. Sometimes when we have weddings and people are upset, we send different people to them that go say something and then win that person over. Ask him to come and attend our function, even if he's upset. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also wishes to do mulaqat, to meet his servant so much. They're so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah says, oh my servant, I want you to come towards me, but you refused. So I send messengers so that they can prepare you and they can lead you towards my mulaqat. And the third thing, which is even more ajeeb, that Abdi, O my servant, every person, they desire you for their own sake. They have some motive behind it. Wa ana uriduka laka, but I love you for your sake. And all the muhabbate, all the loves in this world, they have a motive, but Allah Subhanahu's muhabbat for His servants is for their own sake. There's no motive behind it, without any gharaz. Allah Subhanahu's love is unselfish. If the whole world becomes unbelievers, there would be no loss in Allah Subhanahu's majesty. Every person was to become a believer, it would not increase the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for His servants is very selfless. And there's also another love, which maybe inshallah sometime we'll speak about, and that's the love that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has for his ummah. That's the second relationship, which is also a selfless relationship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has muhabba. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us is very different from the way we love each other. Normally what happens is in our worldly loves that there is same intensity on both the sides. There has to be a balance. If someone does something bad to you, you don't start loving that person. Worldly love, it flourishes if there is a balance between both the sides. Both the parties have the same flame ignited. That's the state of this worldly love. But for Allah Ta'ala's love for His servants, how much does Allah Ta'ala love them? It comes in a hadith that, O my servant, if you come to me hand span, I will come to you in arm's length. وَإِنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي فَأَتَيْتُ هَرْوَلًا. If you come to me walking, my mercy will come to you, my blessings will come to you running. And it shows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is more than that of a person. And in dunya, when you love someone, you have to be the first in that love. You have to take the initiative. The one who loves, they have to initiate. But in the muhabbat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He initiates that act of love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first to act. Allah loves us first. And then any person can love Allah ta'ala back. Imam Qurtubi rahmatullah, he has quoted Abu Zayd rahmatullah in his tafsir And he says that I was at fault in understanding four things. And then when I read the Quran, I found my mistake. First thing, I used to think that I will become pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with me. But when I read the Quran, I read radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and then they're pleased with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initiates. Allah becomes first razi, then they become razi. Second thing, he says, I used to think that I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers me. But when I read the Quran, I saw Allah says, وَمَا يَذْكُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. That they do not do zikr of Allah except when they get the will from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once they get the mashiyat from Allah. So first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for them to do their zikr, wills for them to do his zikr, and then they're able to do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third thing, he says, I used to think that I first will repent to Allah, will make tawbah, and after that Allah ta'ala's mercy will be showered upon me. When I read Quran, I saw that Allah says, "Summa taba alayhim liyatubu." That Allah Ta'ala turned towards the servants, towards them in His mercy, liyatubu, so that they can then make tawbah. So Allah's mercy is first, and then it is the person who repents back to Allah. And the fourth thing He says, I used to think that I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and then Allah ta'ala loves me in return. But when I read the Quran, I came across yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu, that Allah loves them and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I came to know that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who loves first and then a person loves him back. And that's why in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allahu waliyyu allatheena amanu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the wali, is the friend. Allah ta'ala loves those people of iman. And this ayat of Quran shows how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers. If a king was to say to his servant that I love you, or you are my friend. So that servant would view this to be a very big honor for him. That who am I? And the king is saying that you are my friend. And if you look here, that king still has some kind of connection, some kind of nisbah, some relationship, some haysiyah with that servant. We don't even have that kind of a haysiyah when it comes to our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is A'la, He is Al-Azim. Allah ta'ala is Khalik and Malik of the entire universe. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu, that I love those people of Iman. That Allah befriends those people of Iman. Allah is the friend of those people who have Iman. So this is a very big honor for the believers. There is no greater honor than this, that Allah is saying this. If you reflect, this ayat could have been slightly different. Allah Ta'ala could have said that people who are the believers, they are the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani Alladhina Amnu comes first, and then Waliullah, they are the friends of Allah. But muhabbat and love, it wants expression. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his muhabba. Allah brought his name first. Allahu waliyul ladhina amanu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the friend of the believers. One person was sitting in a gathering and the sheikh was giving a bayan. about love for Allah, and he was saying that Allah loves you and Allah loves you very much and Allah is most loving. So that person stood up and said that, "Oh Shaykh, you're saying this to us. What's your dalil? What's your proof?" And the Shaykh said that, "Okay, before I give you my proof, you have to understand the principle of love. And the principle of love is that when you have a relationship, lover and a beloved, so lover, he will give everything to his beloved. And after that, he would feel that I have not given enough. I could have given more. Why? Because he has muhabba. And on the other hand, if he gets something from his beloved, even if it's something small or insignificant, he will value it a lot because it's coming from his beloved." Then the Shaykh said, "If you read Quran, Allah says that I've given you all the dunya and all the blessings and bounties of the dunya. And after giving all of that to you, Allah says, Kul mata ud dunya kaleel. That all of these blessings of the dunya are very little. I could have given you much more. I want to give you much more, and for that, there is another jahan, another realm that is waiting for you, which is Jannah. And on the other hand, whatever little ibadah acts of worship that we do, we are weak. Khuliqal insanu za'ifa, and our actions are also weak. So our ibadah itself is very deficient and faulty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala values it so much that in Quran Allah says, وَالذَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالذَّاكِرَاتِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those male believers who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly, and those female believers who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word abundance for the ibadah that they do. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love for the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much muhabbah for the believers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. Allah ta'ala becomes their guardian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches them tatbir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them. Allah ta'ala becomes their wakil, their mawla, their nasir, their hafiz. All of this is because of Allah's muhabbah. In fact, whenever a person does any righteous deed, that's also a manifestation of Allah's muhabbah. In one amal, Allah shows three manifestations of His love. One amal. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells this person to intend that act of ibadah, that intention. That is coming from Allah ta'ala because Allah loves that person. Allah puts that intention inside that person's heart. Second, when a person starts to do any good act, ibadah, he is given the tawfiq to do more and more amal to continue. That tawfiq is also coming from Allah. And third, when a person completes that amal, then Allah Ta'ala accepts that amal. That qubuliyah is also coming from Allah. So for a mu'min, they don't have one eid, but they have three eids. That's why in one amal, there are three kinds of happiness, three kinds of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why only Allah Ta'ala is deserving of our love. And one should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deeply with all of his heart. And that's why Allah says in Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That those people who have true iman, they are intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ, he entered Medina Munawwara, he addressed him on the khutbah that he gave, said, "O people, love Allah Ta'ala min kulli kulubikum, with the full extent of your heart." Sometimes a person tends to love Allah partially because there are other loves, other things in their heart. But the Prophet ﷺ says that love Allah with the full extent of your heart. Hand yourself over to Him. Fill your heart with His love. Submit your heart to Him until your heart is filled with this love. Another riwayah, the Prophet ﷺ said that you love Allah because of the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given upon you, of the food and drink that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. So how can a person increase this muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart? So today we want to share with you 10 different things that are mentioned in our deen, 10 means of increasing our muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can think about them as al-asbab lil-muhabba, the causes or the sabab, the asbab, which will increase the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside our heart. And since one of the purpose of this month of Ramadan is that we all of us should increase in the muhabbat of Allah and try to take out all the unlawful loves from our heart. So we hope that inshallah these 10 things will be beneficial for all of us, and we'll try to make intention to do amal on these 10 things. The first one is to increase our zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dawamu zikrihi ala kulli hali بِاللِّسَانِ وَالْقَلْبِ وَالْعَمَلِ وَالْحَالِ, that a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their tongue, with their heart, with their actions, and with their state. Why? Because a person will get muhabba to the extent that they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why we have to remember this principle, that the love for Allah Ta'ala will come when we remember Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Through remembrance, we get the muhabbat of the Zaat of Allah. Yani, whenever you start doing tazkira of something now, the muhabbat for that thing will increase in your heart. You start doing tazkira of an ice cream, you will begin to want to have an ice cream. And that's why Allah says, Uzkurullaha dhikran kaseera. One place Allah says that people of Iman are extremely intense in their muhabba. And second place Allah says that for the Iman, people of Iman, Uzkurullah, they should remember Allah, Zikran Kaseera, abundantly. So there is a rabt, there is a connection here. That if a person wants to increase in their intense muhabba for Allah, we'll have to do abundant zikr, increase in our zikr. And that's why you will see that people, the early Muslims and the friends of Allah, the lovers of Allah, if you ever sit with them, they don't even talk much about the dunya. And the reason why they don't talk so much about the dunya is the less not the muhabbat of the dunya come into their heart. In fact, the Shariat also says that for a husband wife, the wife should not even talk about some ghair mahram, unrelated women in front of the husband too much. Because there's a chance and a possibility that the love for that woman might enter into the heart of the husband. Because the more you remember something, then you will fall in love, you will increase in muhabba. And that's why Allah wants us to increase in His remembrance. And today sometimes we don't do this remembrance, and that's why we feel a bit lukewarm in our muhabba. Allah says in Quran that those who remember Allah little, they will be tazabzub. They will be shaky in their iman. Muzabzabina bayna zalik. That they will be tazabzub. They won't have that firmness in faith. And we can understand this from an example. That if a person is sweating, and they enter their home, and they take a shower, they want to take a shower. But instead of taking a shower, they just put some, wet sponge and try to wipe away that stench. That stench will not, that smell will not go away. If you're simply wiping a wet cloth, that's not going to be enough. We'll tell them that, no, you have to take a proper shower. When you let that water flow over your body, then that smell will go away. Exactly in the same way. Then when a person does zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmah, the pani, the water of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah showers that mercy upon that person. And then that mercy of Allah ta'ala washes that person, and through this Allah ta'ala allows that person to increase in his mahabbah. So the more and more we remember Allah, the more and more we'll feel muhabbat for Allah inside our heart. And that's why Allah says in Quran also that we should increase this muhabba and make this the most dominant muhabba. More dominant than the muhabbat that we have for our parents, our children, our brothers, our spouse, everyone. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, gives us a story to help us understand that if we want to increase in our muhabbah for Allah and we want to erase the muhabbat of ghayrullah from our hearts, then we have to increase in the zikr of Allah. So there's an ayat of the Quran that when Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he called Queen Bilqis to his kingdom. And she asked her assembly members that I've been called by the king, what should I do? And they said, take the step, we are behind you. Right? Take the step and move forward, we are behind you, we'll support you in whatever you do. This is a very old tradition that you take your step, we're going to support you from behind. So she was intelligent. She said, no, 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 we can't go for war. And then she recited, she said something which is mentioned in the Quran. Innal muluka iza dakhalu qaryatan afsaduha. That indeed when a king enters a village, they cause fasad inside that village. They cause turmoil inside that place. Waja'alu a'izzata ahliha azilla. And those who are mu'azziz and honorable inside that place, they are driven out with zillat. So I cannot fight Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. Now these are the literal meaning of that verse of the Quran. And Hazrat Aqdas Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said that this is a very beautiful example. Tamseel. And tamseel means that if we replace maluk with malikul mulk, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if we take qarya to mean the location, the space of our heart, the city of our heart. So the meaning will be إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا دَخَلُوا قَرْيَةً, that when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taken inside our heart, أَفْسُدُوحَ, it brings an inqilab, a revelation inside that person's heart. وَجَعَلُوا أَعِزَّةَ أَهْلِهَا أَزِلَّةً, and that dunya, which has become so honorable in the heart of that person, those unlawful loves, that love is taken out from the heart. And a person removed all the unlawful nafsani, shaitani, hewani loves, they are removed, wiped away from the heart of that person when the love for Allah Ta'ala enters inside the heart. So by taking the name of Allah, remembering Allah, increasing our remembrance of Allah, this will increase us in our muhabbah for Allah and will drive away all the unlawful loves from our heart. And that's why if you look at our akabareen, they would do a lot of zikr of Allah. For example, there was a wali, an intimate friend of Allah by the name of Hazrat Khwaja Fazl Ali Qureshi rahmatullah alayh. He was a farmer. And one day, you know, he would set out to his field every morning and he would come back at the time of Maghrib. But while on the field, he would be doing zikr of Allah inside his heart, just mentioning the name of Allah inside his heart. So one day he thought that, let me calculate, how many times do I take the name of Allah every day? And when he calculated, he realized that it came to about 80,000. And in one day, he would take the name of Allah 80,000 times through his heart. Allahu Akbar. So we should try also to increase our remembrance of Allah. This can be done when a person is standing, sitting. Allah says in Quran, the remember me, alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Then when you remember Allah, when you're standing, sitting, or lying on their sides, means that you're practically remembering Allah at all times because there's no fourth posture. Either you're standing or you're sitting or you're lying on the side. So you're remembering Allah throughout. (Clears throat) in there's a very ajeeb story that is mentioned in the books. There was a king who had a daughter who was young, and she was in the palace, and there was a person who used to wash her clothes. And that person was also a young guy. And this person, he fell in love with the princess. And that's why he used to scrub her clothes very properly, make it shining clean, and then add that extra touch. So he was infatuated, crazy in his muhabba, in his love for the princess. And then when it opened up the whole situation, so he declared that, yes, I love you. And started sending those messages that we sent. I miss you. I love you. I cannot live without you. So when the princess realized that he is becoming out of control, so she said to him that, look, there is no chance that you can ever meet me. And he said that, no, there has to be some way, at least once can we meet. Come to me so that I can talk to you at least once in my life. And the princess said that, okay, there is only one way. And my father, he is religious and he does qadr of the ulama, of the scholars. He has love for them. And whenever he has any masala, any question, he goes to them and requests them to make dua. So try to become religious or act religious, and maybe we can get an opportunity to meet. So when this person heard this, he went outside near the edge of the city. He set up his tent and then just took out a tasbih and started just tasbih, 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 tasbih. And for 1, 2, 3 years, people saw him that this person is, you know, mashallah, he's doing tasbih all the time. And then people also started coming and giving him gifts, and he would not even accept gifts. So people now had more yakin that this is a very, you know, the Sufi. He's a person who doesn't even care about the dunya. He's always doing his tasbih, remembering Allah. So one day, when someone mentioned this to the king, that there is some person who's remembering so much, who's such a big zakir. So the king also felt that I should also go and meet him. Maybe I can request him to make dua for me. And then the king went, and then he came back to the palace and said that today I met a very young man and I asked him to make dua for my issue. Now the princess, she also got the opportunity. And she asked the father that if you give me permission, that can I also go and request him to make dua? So the king said that, okay, you have my permission, go. So one day then the princess, she went with the intention to make dua. And when she reached there, she said to him that I'm that same princess and you were in love with me and now we can talk. And this whole zikr, this whole show that you put on was basically for this meeting. So now I'm here. And that young man is not even looking in his direction. He's not even looking in her direction. And the princess, she is also stunned. And then she starts reminding him that you used to say, Anna Matlubuk, that I am your object of talab, of your desire. That I am your chahat, your desire, and you have raghbat for me, and yearning for me, and a craze for me. And you love me, and you are the coolness of my eyes. And all those sentences she's repeating that you used to say this to me. And now that we are here, you are not even looking in my direction. And then that person, that young man, he replied that ever since I have started doing the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah, this remembrance of Allah, even though it was fake, I was just pretending. But this zikr has taken my eyes away from you. This zikr has taken your muhabba out of my heart. So subhanAllah, if a person is pretending to do remembrance of Allah, is doing this as a showman, and that has the effect and the strength to be able to take out the love for ghayrullah. So then imagine if we can do the zikr of Allah with ikhlas and with sincerity, so why wouldn't Allah Ta'ala's muhabba enter into our heart? So we should do zikr of Allah abundantly with sincerity. Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah, he said that that person who in his whole life said the word Allah once with the muhabba, this muhabba and taking the name of Allah with muhabba, one day or the other, this will become a means for that person to enter into Jannah. Subhanallah. Second way through which a person can increase muhabbat for Allah is to recite Quran. Qira'atul Qur'ani bit-tadabbur wat-tafahhum. To recite Quran with meaning and with understanding. In the dunya, you must have seen that when you love someone, they also love the words of their beloved. The mother, she loves her son. She remembers every word her son makes, every word her son tells or says to her. And when you have worldly love, love with someone, when we read their SMS, their email, their WhatsApp, we read and reread and reread, right? Derive pleasure every time. And likewise, if a person wants to increase in the love for Allah, they should also try to read the Kalam of Allah. Because the lovers of Allah, they never get tired from reading Quran. It's like an ice cream. You eat, keep on eating ice cream and scoop after scoop, scoop after scoop, and you begin to enjoy every scoop. Because every scoop has its own zaika, has its own maza. Hazrat Masar bin Qidam rahmatullah, he says that I entered the masjid and I saw a person praying. And I liked his qirat, so I started listening. And he continued reciting until he completed one third of the Quran. And I thought that now he will do ruku. But he did not finish. He did not do ruku until he finished half of the Quran. And then I thought that now he will do ruku. But he did not do ruku. And in that one raka, he completed the whole Quran. And when he completed his prayer and said salam, I saw there was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. These were Ashik-e-Quran, lovers of the Quran. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, he traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Tayyibah, and on that time, in that zamana, it used to take 16 days. He says that I reached Madinah Munawwarah in 16 days, and in 16 days, I completed 16 recitations of the Quran. Hazrat Fatima Adaviya rahmatullah alayh, she would pray two rakat after Isha Salah. And then after praying two rakah, these two rakah would extend till the time of Fajr. And then before Fajr, she would quickly complete her salam and say that, Ya Allah, how short are your nights that I was only able to pray two rakat. They would enjoy reciting Quran. And Quran would increase their muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala. When you enjoy something, when you want to talk to someone, you can be on the phone. I remember some of our friends used to be on the phone for the whole night, right? And they used to have records, and sometimes it was mind-boggling for us. Right? How can a person be on the phone for 6 hours or 7 hours, and one time through 10 hours non-stop on the phone? Allahu Akbar Kabira. And I was doing some calculation a few days ago that if a person, they read Quran with the proper, with an average speed, yani non-hafiz a Quran, if they begin to read Quran, then we did some calculation that in about 10 hours, they can complete the whole Quran, non-hafiz. There are about 600 pages of a normal mushaf, and a person can complete those pages, and roughly it came out about 10 hours. And your 10 hours if a person, recites Quran, they can finish one Quran. It's just about how we use our time. People can use 10 hours on the phone. Someone else can use those 10 hours to complete one Quran. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala, he said, لَوْ تَهَرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا لَمَا شَبِعَتْ مِنْ كَلَامِ اللَّهِ. That if our hearts were pure, a person would not tire from reading Quran. They would continue. The fact that we become tired is actually because of the impurities of our sins. That's why we don't get the lazzat in ta'awudh, because of our sins. Just like a person is physically sick, so they don't feel the pleasure of food. In the same way, when a person is spiritually sick, they may not experience the pleasure of recitation of Quran or ibadah. In one hadith Mubarakah, it comes that there was one Sahabi who was standing at the guard post and he was reciting Surah Kahf. And since he had made niyat, meanwhile the enemy attacked and the arrows would come and pierce his body. And he said that I would continue to be pierced by the arrows of the enemy, but I did not want to leave my salah until I had completed Surah Kahf. Subhanallah, this Quran is ajeeb ni'mat. This will also do our shifa'at on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet said that ikra, read Quran, because this Quran will do your shifa'at on the day of judgment. And then on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also recite Quran. Rahman will recite Quran. Fa'iza sami'uhu min ar-Rahman. And when the people will listen to the Quran being recited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will feel that as if we have never read this thing before, the way we are listening and hearing these words of Quran right now. So it's not that a person doesn't have the ability. We have that ability to talk to someone for 10 hours. If only we can make that flip and use that same ability instead of the dunya, we use that ability now to read the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just about flipping that ability that we have from the dunya to Allah, from makhluk to khaliq, from ghayrullah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no better month to make this flip than the month of Ramadan, because this month is the month of transformation and change. Third thing which increases a person in the muhabbat of Allah is to pray nawafil salah. Atakarrubu ila Allahi bin nawafil ba'd al fara'iz. Takarrub ila Allah bin nawafil ba'd al fara'iz. Fara'iz, every person has to pray. That's duty. 8 hours you have to go work. And your fara'iz will also increase you in your muhabbat for Allah. But beyond the fara'is, there is another kind of muhabbat, a love, a qurb that a person can get, which is when a person starts praying nawafil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such a person who prays nawafil. In fact, in one hadith it comes that when a person, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبَ إِلَى بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, that my servant, he draws close to me through the nawafil until I begin to love him. And until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to love that person. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person, Allah ta'ala continues in that hadith. It's a very famous hadith, Sahih Bukhari, that a person keeps getting closer to me through nawafil until there comes a stage that when I start loving him. And when I start to love him, I become his ears through which he listens. And I become his eyes through which he sees. And I become his hands through which he holds. And I become his feet through which he walks. And when he asks anything, I give it to him. And when he seeks refuge in me, I give him what he wants. So, subhanAllah, in this hadith, look at the shan. That when a person draws close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through nawafil, Allah is saying that Allah becomes the eyes and the ears and the hands and feet of that person. That's the level of qurb that a person gets. And they also become mustajab ud-da'wat. Allah says, when he raises his hand to make dua, I grant him. I accept his raised hands. When he seeks refuge in me, I give him protection. So one, a person should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till they're able to reach such a point where Allah ta'ala becomes proud of his love. Allah becomes happy about that love, about the love of that person. Allah talks to the malaika about this person and tells them to look, this person is such an ashik, so he loves me so much and so dearly. And that's why if you look at our early Muslims, all of them, they were Ashiq Salah. They would pray Salah. They would have five Farz Salah, and then they would offer five optional Salah, 10 Salah. This is what you will find in the routine, 10 Salah, five Farz, and the other five are Ishraq, which is number six. Number seven is Chasht, which is called Duha. Number eight is Awabin, and number nine is Tahajjud, and the 10th one is Salatul Tasbih. They would pray these 10 salah. Some of the people, they would prolong their salah, and in one salah they would say 21 times Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal Azim. We are just people who are doing the bare minimum three times. When a person is muhabba, then something else happens altogether. We pray namaz because we want to get the sawab or the reward of one hajj and one umrah. But the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't look at the reward, the numbers. They pray because they enjoy. They pray because they feel they have placed their head before their beloved. That's their kaifiyah. They pray because they are with their beloved. In one hadith, it could see it comes that Ana Jalisa Man Zakarani, that whoever remembers me, I'm with him. One sheikh said that when I do sajda, I feel as if I've kept my head before my beloved. I don't want to raise my head up. Amma Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet used to do a very long sajda, such a long sajda that sometimes I used to become fearful. Then maybe the Prophet has passed away. So praying nawafil. Someone mentioned to a person that there'll be no salah in Jannah. And you technically there is no salah will not be obligatory in Jannah. So when he heard, he started crying. He had tears in his eyes. When I asked him, why are you crying? He said that if there's no salah in Jannah, then what's the pleasure of Jannah? Allahu Akbar. There's another person, and there are some young people, they were mentioning there'll be palaces in Jannah, and there'll be food and kusur in Jannah, and whatever you want, you will get in Jannah. And the Shaykh was listening silently. And when these people that completed their conversation, they said that, oh Shaykh, you should also say something. And he replied that, look, if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His mercy upon us, then I will just make one small request from Allah, that, oh Allah, grant me enough space underneath Your arsh where I can lay down my musalla, my janamas, and where I can pray You. Allah Akbar. So we should today also try to increase in our salah. And why? We should have two intentions. One intention is this hadith, that through nawafil we can attain the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I want to pray more and more nawafil so that I can draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is that we don't know which spot, which area, which piece of land, and when we do sajda on which piece of land, that sajda might be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't know which piece of land is maqbool. Hence, anytime we get any opportunity to pray two rak'ah, we should just make use of it. Capitalize on that opportunity. We should have this adat, habit of praying two rak'ah. Perhaps maybe that sajda we did at that fala piece of land that was maqbool in the law. And that becomes the sabab of our qubuliyah, acceptance in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should have muhabbat with the musalla, with the janamas, muhabbat with the masjid. We want to show to Allah that, Allah, we are not strangers to the musalla. We don't feel any fear or any wahshat or any alienation. Allah, we love to be in this spot, in this place. We love this spot because we want to get to You. Once there was a person who went with his servant to get buy something from the market. And the servant said that, I can come with you, but if there is time for salah in the middle, Then I will pray my salah with in a relaxed manner. I won't rush, I won't hurry. So he said, "Okay, fine, you can come." It was a long journey, and the time for salah came in the middle. So that person, he went inside the masjid and started praying salah. Now the owner, he was quickly prayed his farais and came back. And now this person is praying his sunnah, his awabin, his nawafil, and is continuing. And now the owner also became angry. And from outside the masjid, he called, he shouted, that who is preventing you from coming outside? And that child, he replied, that same being was preventing you from coming inside. This is the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala loves to see a person in such a state that they're making salah. They're sitting on the musalla. If a person misses their fajr salah, we should not think that I missed my fajr salah. We should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to see my face at that time. That's why Allah put me to sleep. That's how we should think, because that's the time of maqbool. That's the time of qubuliyya. The time of tahajjud is qubuliyya. Only the maqbool servants of Allah are awake at that time and worshipping Allah. So perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to see, does not want to see our face at that time. So that's how we should think. This is about tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And fourth thing which will increase the muhabbat for Allah is إِيثَارُ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ سِوَاهُ. That you prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything else. That whatever obstacles lie in the way, to leave them and reach forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes there's always a balance. There is a competition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or something else. In that situation, a person should always have this principle that I have to prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isaru ma yuhibbuhu. To prefer Allah over everything else. And when a person makes this their habit, that we will prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala no matter what, then this will also increase muhabba for Allah in their heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fix their dunya. Whatever problem, whatever issues they were facing, Allah will take care. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this muhabbat. That Allahumma inni as'aluka lazzatan nazri ila wajhika al-kareem. That Allah, I ask you for the pleasure of the gaze, the pleasure of gazing at your noble and blessed face. This ni'mat, it's a ni'mat which we have to make dua for. The Prophet ﷺ said, took a qasam and said that all the ni'matain blessings in Jannah, they are small, but the biggest ni'mat of Jannah will be the didar, the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing will compare to that sight. Looking at the blessed, noble face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ used to use this as a dua, part of his dua. That, O Allah, by the light of your blessed face, which removes all the zulmat and darkness, Allah, forgive my sins, or Allah, grant me this. So when the Prophet used to make dua, he used to use that, he used to invoke the didar of Allah, the nazar of Allah. He used to ask Allah Ta'ala, as lazzatun nazri ila wajhikal kareem. And one hadith, it comes when a person will enter into Jannah, and when Allah will put His tajalli upon them and they will be able to see Allah Ta'ala, at that time they will forget every other ni'mat that they got in Jannah till that time. And it will be such a mazza and lazzat in gazing at the blessed noble face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should prefer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything else. Number fifth thing, is to reflect on the names and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mutala'at al-qalbi li asma'illahi ta'ala wa sifatihi. And this is what we are doing here in this series, and that's our intention and a dua to Allah ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to use these names as a way of knowing him and as a way of increasing in our love for him. The more and more we reflect on the names of Allah, the Asma'ul Husna, the Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waqi'i is deserving of all of our love. If we have to love someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being we should give our heart to. Because there's a general principle that a person loves someone who is their muhsin, who does some ihsan, favor upon them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done so many ihsanat upon us. And if we begin to reflect, we will feel that muhabbat of Allah in our heart. We should think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sattar. Allah has hidden all my sins. If Allah was not concealing my sins, and if my sins had a stench and a smell, then maybe no one would even want to sit next to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haleem. Allah is so forbearing. Allah is so forgiving. Allah forgives my sins. There's so many different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his maghfirah upon us. So many different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his rahmah, his mercy upon us. There are so many ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us. He's our mawla, he's our wakil, he's our nasir. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. He's our guardian, our protector, our caretaker. The more and more a person begins to reflect, this will increase them in their muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, this name also, Allah is al-wudud. Allah loves us so much. And the more we reflect, this will help us increase in our muhabbat for Allah ta'ala. There's another name, Allah is sabur. That when a person does sin, it causes a lot of grief to Allah. It causes a lot of takleef to Allah, pain to Allah, that we are sinning, committing sin. But Allah is sabur, Allah does sabr. Just like a child, when he disobeys his mother, it hurts the heart of the mother. In the same way, when a person does a sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset. It hurts Allah, it pains Allah. Allah does not like to see this. Allah ko takleef pahunchti hai. This causes takleef to Allah. But Allah ta'ala has a name, As-Sabur. What does this mean? It means that despite the servant sinning and providing takleef to Allah, pain to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does sabr, that perhaps my servant will come back, will return back to me in tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, is most patient. So when a person reflects on the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so the heart feels that we should love Allah ta'ala. And this increases the muhabbat of Allah in the heart. Number six, mushahadatu ni'amihi zahirati wal batina. To reflect on the zahiri, the outward manifest, and the hidden ni'mat and blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings, we're not even worthy and deserving of them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them to us without asking and bighayr istihqaq. We weren't deserving, worthy of them. And gave us ni'mat and made us better than thousands, tens of thousands. Allah gave us jism. Allah gave us sight. Allah made us insan. Allah gave us the power of sight, the power of hearing, the power of speaking. Allah gave us intelligence and wealth and health and honor and izzah. Allah gave us iman. This is also the rahmat of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us from the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is tremendous ihsan of Allah. This is not our kamal. It's not our action. All these are ni'matin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And it only then befits that we should respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we should do qadr of the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this angle, if we think, then our hearts, if they fall in love with those who shower favors upon us, one should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone gives me a glass of water, my heart feels love for that person. But the real giver is my Allah, who gave me that glass through this whole mechanism that we don't see. A man gets and forgets. Allah gives and forgives so many blessings, right? We should reflect on the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Sayyidina, it's written that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he would not eat without a guest, and he would not eat alone. He would always have someone with him. So one time he got some person and he said that eat with me, and they started eating. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam took the name of Allah before starting, said Bismillah. And the guest, when he heard this, he said that I won't recite this name. Asked him why. He said, I'm an idol worshipper. Why should I recite this name? So then Ibrahim alayhi salam became upset, angry. And without eating, he stood and left. Later, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revelation to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that, O my Khalil, O my friend, you called a guest and then you stood up and you went away without hosting your guest. So Ibrahim alayhi salam replied that, Allah, he was an idol worshipper, mushrik. He did not even want me to take your name. He did not like your name. So how could I sit with them and eat together? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, O my Khalil, that he was 70 years old. And for 70 years, I've been giving him food. And then when this message reached Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he tadab gaye, right? He stood up and he said, Oh Allah, let me find that person. He went outside of his house, started searching for that person. Finally found him and then begged him, pleaded him, come back, please come and eat with me. Even if you don't want to take that name, still come and eat with me. So he asked, that person asked that, why are you coming to me? What happened? And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said that Allah sent this revelation to me and Allah counseled me that I've been sending rizq to this person for 70 years and you could not feed him, you could not host him for one day. So that's why I've come back to you. So when that person, he heard this, he came and he ate food with Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and then said that I also want to make tawbah for my shirk. I want to become a muwahid, believe in one Allah. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him that why do you want to bring iman? And he said that I've seen the Karimi, the mercy of my Rabb, which has forced me to bring iman. If my Rabb is so Kareem and so merciful that for 70 years I was associating partners with him and still my Allah was giving me rizq, so how can I not bring iman on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors us. We continue to be neglectful in our duties, in our salah, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give to us so many ihsanat. The seventh thing which increases a person in the muhabbat for Allah is heartbreak. Inkisarul qalbi baina yaday rabbi. That a person's heart breaks not in front of other, in front of Allah. Right? Not the other heartaches. That a person is broken hearted. And sometimes this is another thing which many people say, that these times people end up in relationships and sometimes things happen. Unfortunate, tragic things happen and the heart breaks. And at that time, what a person can do is that they can take their broken heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take your broken heart to Allah and Allah will patch it, Allah will mend it, Allah will fill it with His muhabbah. It's like you make lemonade from lemon. Huh? You flip that negative situation into something positive. That's the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to each insan. Because when a person's heart breaks, that person is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Becomes very, very close, very near, intimately near to Allah at the time of heartbreak. Why? Because Allah's special gaze of rahmah and mercy is fixed on that person's heart. And if this person can only return back to Allah, this will increase the muhabbah of Allah. So whenever a person's heart breaks, even in your dunya, for some dunyavi sake, at that time, if a person has sabr, and they take their broken heart to Allah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their love, Allah can increase their mental love. That's the moment of Qubuliyah. So we should try to practice this, make this our habit. Anytime a person feels some, they get some aziyah, some taklif to their heart breaks. So in return, a person should turn back to Allah. In one call, it's mentioned, ana indal munkasiratil qulubuhum, that I am with the brokenhearted. Allah is with those people who are brokenhearted. Yani they can easily find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their heart. The eighth thing which increases a person in the muhabbat of Allah is that a person spends time alone with Allah at the time of tahajjud. That a person spends time alone, yani in khalwa, seclusion, solitude, one-on-one, directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of night, at the time of tahajjud. This is very difficult for us. This is very difficult for us, but this is a very quick way a person can draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a wahi to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam that, oh my beloved Dawood, tell my servants that that person is lying who claims to love me, but when night comes, he goes to sleep. Doesn't every lover want moments of privacy with their beloved? Those who love me, they should have spent time in sajda and making dua, talking and having this communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanallah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in solitude at the time of tahajjud. It's difficult because a person has to sacrifice their sleep. Their beautiful sleep has to be sacrificed for the sake of beautiful Allah. And that's the choice. That's the battle. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran also mentions a lot of fazila and virtues about the people who pray tahajjud. In one ayah, Allah says, تَتَجَافَى جُنُوبُهُمْ عَنِ الْمَزَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَتَمَعًا وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. That there are people who leave their sides at night and then they call Allah Ta'ala in khawf and in hope, with fear and with hope. And that's why the early Muslims, they used to be waiting, they would be anticipating, waiting in anticipation for nighttime. Just like a newlywed couple, they wait for the night so that they can get some privacy. Exactly in the same way, the lovers of Allah, they wait for the night to come so that they can get privacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Razi rahmatullah used to say that Allah, the day does not feel nice without your remembrance, and the night does not feel nice without talking to you in privacy. And when a person can rise up at night and spend time alone with Allah in dua, in ibadah, that is a very blessed time, and that person can very quickly come close to Allah. Yani the years can be mapped down in literally moments. That journey which would otherwise require years can be traveled within a few moments. It's that precious, it's that blessed time, the time of night, tahajjud. It's a very big ni'mat. And if a person can begin to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, Imam Shafi rahmatullah used to say, the dua that a person makes at the time of tahajjud will never miss its mark. It's that arrow which will never miss its mark. It said that Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah received news that the enemy have their naval fleet and they're coming to attack them. So Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah, when he heard this, he went to Baitul Muqaddas. And there throughout the night, he prayed to Allah, made dua to Allah. And then at the time of Fajr, he prayed his salah. And when he was going back to his house, he met one sheikh, one very pious Allah wali buzurg. And Salahuddin Ayyubi rahmatullah thought that maybe let me go to him and ask him, request him to make du'as for me. So he said salam, and he said that Azhar, please make du'a, the enemy fleets are coming. And that person was a very, some sahib-e-basirat, and firasa, firasatul mu'min. And that person looked at the face of Salahuddin Ayyubi and understood how he had spent the whole night, and then said to him that, "Salahuddin, the tears of your last night have drowned the naval fleet of the enemy, have destroyed the naval fleet of the enemy." And then the next day he received the news that exactly that is what happened. The entire naval fleet of the enemy was destroyed. We have to get this tawfiq to be able to shed tears at the time of tahajjud. This tawfiq comes from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. We should ask Allah Ta'ala for this tawfiq. That person who can regularly pray tahajjud, that's a sign that that person is loved by Allah and that person has muhabbat of Allah. Once there was a woman who was very sick, a helper in one of the homes. And throughout the day, she used to be engaged in household chores, cleaning, serving, washing. And then at night, she used to ask, "Is there any work that I need to do?" And when the people of the house used to say, "No, there's no work, you can go." So then she used to make wudu, she would come on the musalla, and then she would spend the entire night on the musalla. And it said that one day the owner, the eyes opened at night and they saw that she's making dua. And in that dua, she was saying, "Ilahi wa Sayyidi wa Mawla'i bi hubbika li," that, "Oh Allah, oh my Mawla, I ask you out of the muhabbat that you have for me, that please forgive me." And so when she made this dua, that person stopped her and said that, "You should not use these words. Rather, you should say that, oh Allah, by the muhabbat that I have for you, shower your maghfirah upon me." And you are saying that by the muhabbat that Allah you have for me. So when that person said this, she said, "No, I will continue to make my dua because Allah loves me and I'm asking that Allah you love me and for the sake that you have muhabbat for me, Allah, shower me with your maghfirah." And then she said, gave a reply, that the dalil that Allah loves me is that Allah enables me to rise up at the time of tahajjud and to pray. The fact that I'm able to do this is dalil, is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. So we should also make these du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last one third of the night, that may Allah ta'ala make this path of love easy for us. The second last thing, number nine, is that we should try to avoid and leave all those things which are an obstacle in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these obstacles can sometimes be our own nafs, our own desire. And we have to oppose and subdue and suppress our desires. Why? Because it said that when you love someone, you are obedient to the lover. Right? When you love someone, you're obedient to your beloved. A person prefers the love of his beloved over all other pleasures, even the pleasure of his own nafs. You always want to keep your beloved pleased. So that's how the lovers of Allah are. Their foremost worry and care is about what is pleasing to Allah, even if it means displeasing their own nafs, even if it means going against the dunya or makhluk. They first want to fix their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this is a mistake that we make, that we try to fix so many of our other relationships with other people, boss, colleagues, juniors, seniors, partners, spouse, children. And we're not concerned about a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And praying sometimes becomes difficult. And we end up spoiling our relationship with Allah. So today, we need to sort of have this concern that if we can prefer Allah and we can remove those obstacles, this will help us increase in our muhabbat for Allah ta'ala. And especially in the zamana that we are living in, there's so many obstacles. All the more we should ask Allah Ta'ala that Allah save us from the deception of nafs, from the deception of the shaitan, and from the glitter and the glamour, the fitna of the dunya, and from even people in makhluq who try to take us away from you, who try to make us ghafil and heedless of you. So that's another way which will help a person increase in their muhabba for Allah. And number 10, and the last thing, is the sohbat of the people of Allah, the sohbat of the awliya, the loving friends of Allah, to spend time in their company. Majalisatul muhibbin as-sadiqin. Like Allah says in Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. Put yourself in the company of such people who are sadiq, truer than us in the relationship with Allah. Just by spending some time with their company, we can feel hararat. We can feel that increase in intensity of our love for Allah. And that's why when the Prophet ﷺ, he made dua to Allah for love, on different equations, the Prophet ﷺ made different duas. When one very beautiful and a very famous dua is, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbuk wa hubba man yuhibbuk. That Allah, I ask you to increase me in my love for you and in my love for those people who love you. And we should also generally make du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his love, for his muhabba. And another du'a that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite, Allahumma jal hubbaka ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa waladi wa mali wa min al-ma'i al-baridi ala dhamay. That Allah, make your muhabba more beloved to me and the muhabba of my own nafs, of my parents, of my children, of my wealth, of even cold water at a time when I'm thirsty. Allahumma ja'alni uhibbuka biqalbi kullihi wa urdika bijuhdi kulli. Allah, enable me that I can love you with the full extent of my heart, and I can do and strive in your path with the full extent of my mihnat and struggle. Allahumma inni as'aluka shawk ila liqa'ik wa lazzata nazri ila wajhikal kareem. And I ask you for the shock, the passion, the craze to be able to meet you, and for the pleasure, the sweetness of gazing at your blessed and noble face. Hazrat, Allah Ta'ala sent Wahi and revelation to Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam, that, O Dawood, my zikr, zikri li zakirin. My zikr, my remembrance is for the zakirin. Wa jannati lil abidin. And my jannat is for the abideen, for the worshippers. Wa ziyarati lil mushtaqeen. And my ziyara, or meeting me or seeing me, is for those who are mushtaq, who want to see me, who have a desire for me. Wa ana khasatun lil muhibbin. And I am specifically for my lovers. So my being is specially for those who are my lovers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this desire and longing to meet him. But what is ajeeb is that Allah ta'ala himself desires and longs to meet such people. In one hadith Qudsi, it comes, Allah says that for the pious people, their desire to meet me has increased, and I am more desirous of meeting my lovers. Subhanallah. When a person has this muhabbat for Allah, then this muhabbat can actually make them forget dunya and jannat both. One person, he said that my mujahida and my struggle and mehnat is not simply for jannah, but my striving is for the creator of jannah. Subhanallah. That I want jannah not because of jannah, I want jannah because it's a place that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a place of the rada of Allah. That's why I want jannah. And this is ajeeb, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he values his lovers so much, Allah has so much muhabba for his lovers, that sometimes Allah can change the rules for the lovers. At the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a lover of Allah. He used to herd goats and he used to live in the mountains away from the people, away from makhluk. And once he was making a dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, where can I find you? And if I can find you, I would become your servant. I will comb your hair. I will tend to you when you fall sick. I would rub oil on your head. I will feed you when you become hungry. At that time, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he heard this dua and he said that, no. Make tawbah. Allah Ta'ala is free from all these things. Allah is Azim, Allah is Allah, Allah is pure from all these things. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam said this, that person, he became scared and he became embarrassed and started to cry. And in that state of fear, he went inside the jungle. And right at that time, then Allah Ta'ala sent a revelation, ilham to Musa alayhi salam, that, oh my Musa, why did you separate my servant from me? I sent you to join people to me, not to disconnect them from me. So subhanAllah, sometimes in muhabba, Allah can make special preferential treatment for his lovers. So we have to realize that this muhabbat is our important need. When we view this something to be important as your need, then we will make effort for it. And this muhabbat of Allah, this is our real goal. So when we ask Allah Ta'ala for different things in the month of Ramadan, we should also add this to our wish list. Ya Allah, I ask you for the blessing of your love. We have been given this life to acquire this blessing of the muhabbat of Allah. And we should ask Allah from Allah. Allah, I'm asking from you, you, Ya Allah. I'm asking from you your love, your taluk, your muhabba, your ishq, your ma'rifa, your mushahida. These are the things that we have to ask. There are many people who ask Allah for a career, for job, for car, for home, for good spouse. Very few people left to ask Allah from Allah. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our hearts with this muhabba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ignite the flame of His love inside our hearts. May Allah ta'ala grant us the intensity in muhabba for Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to live a life in His muhabba, to die in His muhabba, and to be raised up on the Day of Judgment in His muhabba. May Allah ta'ala grant us a jununi, a passionate ta'alluq with Him. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll make dua, inshallah. Subhana rabbil al wahhab, allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلي من نفسي وأهلي ومالي وولدي ومن الماء البارد على زمعي اللهم اجعلني أحبك بقلبي كلي وأرضيك بجهدي كلي اللهم إني أسألك الشوق إلى لقائك ولذة النظر إلى وجهك الكريم يا الله يا رب كريم Allah, we ask you tonight, Allah, to forgive us for all of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to tonight in Tawbah. Allah, up till now we have been loving all the unlawful loves in our heart. Allah, up till now, Ya Allah, we had all these unlawful desires in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we realize our mistake. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we realize our error, our sin, our heedlessness, our ghafla. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah in sincere repentance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to forgive us for all of these sins, Ya Allah. To forgive us for the unlawful loves that we have in our heart, unlawful desires that we have, for all the unlawful emotions and feelings that we have. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to remove these unlawful loves and desires from our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, purify our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, wipe away all the unlawful loves. Cleanse our heart. Soften our heart for your love. Incline our hearts for your remembrance. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our hearts for your muhabba. Fill our hearts with your muhabba. Allah, ignite the flame of your muhabba inside our hearts. Ignite the flame of desire inside our hearts. Allah, make us love you more than any other being more than any other love that we have. Make us, and grant us a craze for you, grant us a desire for you, a longing, a yearning for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you to include our names amongst the Muhibbeen, the Mahbubeen, the Ashikeen, the Sadiqeen, the Salihin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have heard from our elders and teachers that this flame of our Muhabba, Allah, this cannot come on its own. Allah, someone has to light this flame inside our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we present our hearts to you. Allah, we ask you to light the flame, Ya Allah. Allah, light the flame of your love inside our hearts. Accept our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us for the renewal of Iman. Revival of Iman. Allah, make us embodiments of this ayah. Walladina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we know we can get milk from the milkman. We can get vegetables from the person who sells vegetables. We get fruits, Ya Allah, from the person who sells fruits. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, we can get you from you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we're at your doorstep. Allah, we're asking you from you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us, increase us in our muhabba for you, in our love for you. And Allah, increase us in our love for those people who love you. Allah, increase us in our ta'alluq with the Prophet ﷺ. Increase us, Ya Allah, in all those things which can enable us to draw close to you. Allah, increase us in our love for all those actions which will draw us close to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make the deen beloved to us. Every aspect of the deen beloved to us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove the strictness and hardness from our hearts. Remove the rigidness from our hearts. Allah, for how long, Ya Allah? Allah, we will be following and practicing this dryness in our deen, this dry deen. Allah, we want to, Ya Allah, increase and muhabba for you. Allah, remove this dryness from our heart. Allah, remove this hardness from our heart. Remove this darkness from our heart. Allah, our hearts are between your two fingers. Yukallibuha kayfa yasha. You can flip our hearts wherever you like. Allah, flip our hearts towards your muhabba. Flip our hearts towards you. Flip our hearts towards taqwa. Flip our hearts towards ihsan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, for this life of muhabba, life of mahabubiya, life of siddiq, life of ihsan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, include our names, Ya Allah, among those people whom you have forgiven, Ya Allah. Every night, Allah, thousands of people are being forgiven. Thousands of people are getting emancipation from the hellfire. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you tonight to include our names also, Ya Allah, in the list of those people who are emancipated from the hellfire. Ya Rabbi Kareem, include our names also among those people who can get a spot in Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you out of your rahmah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept these du'as out of your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are our kind and merciful Rabb. Allah, you have asked us in Quran to make du'a to you. You have said that, Udu'uni Rabbakum. Udu'uni yastajib lakum. Make du'a to me and I will accept your du'a. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have gathered here to make du'a to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you haven't said that only the pious should make du'a and people who are impious, they should not make du'a. But Allah, you say to everyone that you should make du'a and I will accept every single one of your du'a. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have gathered and making du'a to you. Allah, we ask you to accept our du'as. Allah, accept our du'as with afiyah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us your rahmah, grant us your maghfirah, grant us your muhabba, grant us your ma'rifah, grant us your ta'luq, grant us your qurb. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, it's the darkness of the night. Ya Rabbi Kareem, all the people, all the kings of the world, Ya Allah, they have closed their palaces. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, your door is still open. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have gathered at your door. Allah, we are asking you. Allah, we are trying to win you over. Allah, we are trying to win you over. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have nadama, Ya Allah, on our sins. We have remorse and regret about our past. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we know that, Ya Allah, our tongues are not worthy. Allah, our tongues are... We lie with our tongues. Our tongues are impure. Our hearts are impure and hardened. Allah, we know that our eyes are also impure. Allah, we know there is impurity in our jism, outside and inside. Ya Rabbi Kareem, but Ya Allah, we are coming to you. Allah, we are asking you not to look at us. Allah, it's not about us. It's about you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are asking you from you, Ya Allah. Allah, we are asking from your rahmah. Allah, our gaze is on your rahmah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower us with your rahmah. Allah, you have said, Allah, Ya Rabbi, ana inda azani abdi bi, that I'm with my servants as they think about me. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are thinking about your rahmah. Allah, we are thinking, we are hopeful in your mercy. Allah, we have husnizan with you. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, Allah, to grant us according to our hopes. Grant us more than our hopes, more than our aspirations, more than our desires. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Grant us your mercy, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Hanan, you are Manan, you are more loving than 70 mothers combined. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower, Ya Allah, your rahmah upon us. Allah, grant us one gaze of rahmah upon our heart. Allah, give us one gaze of rahmah, one gaze of muhabbah, one gaze of barakah, one gaze of hidayah on our hearts. Allah, send that blast of love on our hearts. Blast of hidayah on our hearts, that blast of mercy on our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the impurities, Ya Allah, from our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us according to your own shan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we know that we have sinned. Ya Rabbi Kareem, at the same time, Ya Allah, we have muhabbah for you. At the same time, we have muhabbah for your lovers. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept this muhabbah that we have for your lovers and include our names also among your lovers. Allah, make us also amongst the salihin and sadiqeen, among all those people who are people of ita'at and ibadat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us, Ya Allah, from the trappings of our own nafs, from the obstacles of our nafs, from the deceptions and delusions of shaitan, from the people who distract us away from you, from dunya that distracts us away from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, that nafs which is nafs-e ammara, Allah, make this nafs-e mutma'inna. Allah, grant us contentment in our nafs. Allah, save us from shaitan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we read in Quran that there's some people that shaitan cannot touch them. Shaitan cannot deceive them. Shaitan cannot misguide them. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you for that hifaza. We ask you to include our names also among such people. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us that protection, preservance, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Enable us to follow in the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we're gathered here, Ya Allah, to think about you, to remember you, to know more about you, to know your beautiful names, to be able to use these names to connect to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept our sitting here, our gathering here, our speaking and our listening. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have raised our hands before you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept our hands, asking you to accept our du'as. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you have said in Quran that you've made us weak. Khulikal insana za'ifa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are weak. Allah, we ask strength from you, Ya Allah. Every weak turns towards the strong. Allah, we are turning towards you for strength. Allah, we are asking you for himma. Allah, we are asking you for tawfiq. Allah, we are asking you for the quwwah in our iman, in our deen, in our amal, in our akhlas. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us, Ya Allah. Grant us that himmat and quwwah in our deen. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Enable us, Ya Allah, to stay away from nafs and shaitan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the sweetness of ibadah. Allah, grant us the sweetness of tilawa. Grant us the sweetness of dua. Allah, grant us the sweetness of doing amal on the sunnah. Grant us the sweetness of zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, make us people who are zakir all the time, every single moment of our life. Allah, embed the zikr inside our hearts. Make the zikr an inseparable feature of ourselves, an inseparable attribute of our existence, of our being. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us embodiments of the ayah. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyamun wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Allah, enable us that we can remember you every single posture, every single moment of our day and of our night. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us embodiments of that ayah. Rijalun la tulhihim tijaratun wala bay'un an dhikrillah, that no amount of worldly trade and commerce can distract them from the remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us firmly established on this attribute of zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, even if we want to forget you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, let us never ever be able to forget you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us true in our zikr. Grant us ikhlas in our zikr. Grant us firmness in our zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept our ibadat, accept our intentions, accept our mujahida. Allah, accept whatever we are doing for your sake. Allah, even if it's deficient. Allah, we know it's deficient and faulty. But Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, alone look at our deeds. Allah, we ask you that you are Kareem. Allah, by the sifat that you are Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Kareem, Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever du'as we make, Allah, we ask you to grant us better than what we can ask from you. And Ya Allah, whatever du'as we should have made to you but we weren't able to make, Allah, grant us those du'as also. Grant us those ni'mat also. Grant us afia in our deen, in our dunya, in our akhirah, in all our affairs, Ya Allah. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayri khalqihi محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.